7 in your green book. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest me all my
sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinner.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, who heartily repent of your sins, believe on Jesus Christ, and sincerely and earnestly purpose, by the assistance of God the Holy Ghost, henceforth to amend your sinful lives. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The Introit. When I awake, I am still with thee, hallelujah. Thou hast laid thine hand upon me, hallelujah. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my dancing and my uprising. For in thee to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
When I awake, I am still with thee.
Hallelujah! Thou hast laid thine hand upon me. Hallelujah! Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it unto it. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God,
Almighty God, who through thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, hast overcome death and opened unto us the gate of everlasting life, we humbly beseech thee that as thou dost put into our minds good desires, so by thy continual help we may bring the same to good effect. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for Easter Day is from the 52nd chapter of Isaiah. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high, just as many were astonished at you. So his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider. Here ends the reading. The epistle is from the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Here ends the epistle.
This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
According to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Here ends the gospel. the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Sermon text is from the angel's words in St. Mark 16, Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. This is our text. Let us pray. Almighty God, who by the death of thy Son has overcome sin and death, by his resurrection has restored innocence and everlasting life, to the end that we, being delivered from the power of the devil, should live in that kingdom, grant that our whole hearts we may confidently believe this, and in such faith ever thank and praise thee, through the same thy dear Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. It is a significant part of the history concerning the revelation that Jesus had risen from the dead and was alive. We see that even before he revealed himself to these women or to his disciples, he desired to have the empty garden tomb, the word of the angelic announcement, and the reaction of the women declare his resurrection. In this way, we would have multiple testimonies of his resurrection. Christ's resurrection is not an unimportant doctrine, but it is required for salvation. Without faith in the resurrection, there is no salvation. Now, the suffering and death of Christ had witnesses, but not the resurrection. No one saw Jesus change from dead to alive. No one saw him pass through the grave clothes. No one saw him exit the tomb. We know that even before the stone was rolled back by the earthquake, that Christ had already come back to life. And in his resurrected state, Jesus, he was not bound by space and time. So this morning, we take a look at those three proofs of the resurrection, which are provided by St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. The first proof of the resurrection is the empty tomb. Now, however, the empty tomb alone does not give us a proof of the resurrection. There needs to be further proofs. Mark doesn't tell us about things like the folded up handkerchief that covered his face or the deflated grave wrappings that we learn from John's gospel. You see, if the body had been stolen, they wouldn't have unwrapped it first. But all that Mark's gospel tells us, all we have is the women who enter the tomb and they see the objects where the body had lain, for the angel says to them, see the place where they laid him? And so there they see it. But the real problem is that the first witnesses of the resurrection were women. In the first century, women were disqualified as witnesses in a court of law. As a secular source says, and I quote, the law about an oath of witness applies to men but not to women, end quote. So to say that the women are the first witnesses to the empty tomb is quite troublesome for Christianity. I mean, if you're going to make up a story, you definitely wouldn't have the women, wouldn't write it that, well, the women are, they are inadmissible witnesses. Maybe you can see that this inconvenient fact actually reveals the truthfulness of the biblical account. The reason that St. Mark includes it is because it really happened that way. The devotion of the women toward their Savior leads them to make arrangements, and they arrive at the tomb early on Sunday morning without any of the disciples with them. Our God, you see, does not follow the ideas or the biases of men. In fact, the early theologians explained that the women witnesses was a theological statement. That is, just as sin entered the world through evil woman, who announced the lie to Adam, who believed her message, took of the fruit himself, and so now it's only right that the announcement of the gospel might come through the words of the women. The women's devotion is rewarded by allowing them to be that first witnesses of the resurrection. But to return back to the empty tomb, our first proof, there we find the second proof. The second proof of the resurrection is the words of an angel. There needs to be a witness who gives a word of explanation. Why is there an empty tomb? Did the women come to the wrong gravesite and find an empty tomb? Was the body stolen? The angel supplies the answer. He says, "You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here." Faith always relies on a word of revelation. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So, the women didn't see the resurrection occur, and so they needed a word that their faith could rest in. All the facts agree, but it was God's word, or the announcement from the angel, that satisfied their faith. God provided his own witness so that we would have a sure foundation in which to trust. We are never left to wonder, "I wonder about that tomb, what happened?" No, we have a word of God to provide such a sure testimony and record. Maybe the women aren't reliable, but I'm not sure that the men are either. But the scriptures say all men are liars. Even the grave objects may have other explanations, but when the word of God gives me the explanation, then I have a sure foundation upon which to build, which corroborates with the women's story and later the men. Once again, Mark doesn't tell us, but the other gospel writers let us know that a little later the women meet Jesus on the way. Yes, there will be resurrection appearances on Easter Day and over a period of about 40 days. Many will see and touch his body. The women will see the risen Lord on their way, and he will speak to them directly. Nevertheless, St. Mark gives us all that we need. The women already have a word of God to trust in. They came to the tomb under the delusion that Jesus' body was lying in the tomb, and that they thought, well, they would prepare his body. They find no body, but they receive the reliable word of God. "He is risen. He is not here." Well, that same word of God ought to be enough for us as well. The Father tells us that his Son is risen from the dead. And amen. It is true. "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it," the Psalms say. "However, I will believe it. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Christ's resurrection means that our sins have been atoned for. 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." But I say, according to the announcement of St. Mark's angel, we are not still in our sins. We have God's word that Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Romans 4, verse 25 declares the benefit that that resurrection will be for believers. He says that Christ, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised again because of our justification, believers in Christ are justified, and they will not die, but live. You need to know that there is an orderly plan for us. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep." His resurrection is first, and our resurrection will follow. We will sleep, but on the last day, we shall rise again. Now, let us examine the third proof of the resurrection. It's found in today's Holy Gospel. Like many detective shows and novels, it has been there right before your eyes the whole time. In fact, there have been many, even theologians, that have complained about St. Mark's ending because of it. The third proof, I tell you, is the fear of the women themselves. Their response of fear and trembling and amazement are all a proof of the resurrection. When God came down to meet the Israelites on Mount Sinai, the response of the people was fear and trembling. They even ran away. When Jesus drove out the legion of demons out of the possessed man and allowed them to enter into a herd of pigs, it said that the people were afraid and they asked Jesus to leave. When Christ appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, the three disciples were greatly afraid and they fell upon their faces. I tell you, whenever there is the presence of God and God does his works among men, there is always overwhelming fear, trembling, and astonishment. Now we might think that we know. We know how we or other people should behave when they encounter Christ's resurrection. They ought to behave this way or that. However, we don't have anything with which to compare it. There is no socially normal behavior regarding resurrections. It's an event beyond human comprehension. And therefore, it is always awesome and frightening. The resurrection of Christ shows our human inadequacy and our weakness when it comes to confronting the presence and the actions of God. No one has ever come face to face with this before. The response of the women who come face to face with the empty tomb and the witness of the angel concerning Christ's resurrection, I tell you, their reaction is perfectly appropriate. More than that, it is yet another proof that Christ did rise from the dead. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now, there are two things which make us sinful mortals uncomfortable. It's death and the resurrection. Both of these things bring us into contact with the presence and work of God. There are two things. These two things reveal both our sinfulness and they also show us God's great power. Romans 1:4 says that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So today, you have come to celebrate Christ's resurrection, the feast of the resurrection. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed. But you are not overwhelmed with fear. You are not trembling and running away. You have come to draw near to your Lord and Savior, who comes to us through word and sacrament. You know that you will die, but Christ has overcome death. You know that Jesus has risen from the dead as St. Mark's empty tomb and the angel and the women's fear proclaims to us. So why don't you run away in fear? Because you have a word of explanation. Because the word of God brings comfort and assurance that through Christ's death and resurrection, we are justified and given life after death. Those who fear and love God need not fear anything. Romans 8 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So through our risen Lord's intercession, we can face death, knowing that we too shall rise again. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Create in me, page 18, we stand. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, thou Son of righteousness, who camest forth from the dark night of death, in majesty surpassing the golden Easter dawn, rise also upon our hearts and enable us to contemplate the glories of this sacred day, that we may praise and glorify thee. As our surety, thou wast delivered up to death, but behold, thou livest. Thou hast conquered death and destroyed him that had the power of death, having bruised the head of the serpent, the ancient foe of God and man. Thou didst descend into the lower parts of the earth and hast spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. Hail, Lion of the tribe of Judah, O thou conqueror of death and captain of our salvation, the battle and the victory are thine. But thou dost share thy conquest with us, and dost clothe us with thy triumph. Thou hast made the firstfruits of them that sleep. Because thou livest, we shall live also. And when thou hadst overcome death, thou didst open the kingdom of heaven for all believers. Thou, the true Paschal Lamb, which was offered for us, hast taken away the sin of the world, and by thy rising again hast restored to us innocence and everlasting life. Therefore we are glad and rejoice in thy goodness, and we bless and praise thy holy name. O thou Prince of life, we beseech thee, comfort us with the forgiveness of our sins, and abide continually with us, that in all our conflicts we may retain the Easter joy. Fulfill in us with power the work of faith. Cause us to rise with thee in true repentance from our natural death of trespasses and sins, to put away the old leaven of malice and wickedness, that we may always walk with thee and serve thee in truth and in pureness of living. May thy Spirit put into our minds holy desires and quicken us in all our duties. that through thy power resting upon us, we may overcome the world and the terrors of death, and at thy coming to judge the world appear with thee in glory, being like thee, and having our bodies changed into the fashion of thine own glorious body. Bless thine inheritance, O Lord, govern thy people, lift them up forever. Defend and maintain thy church till the end of days. Give us shepherds who will take heed unto themselves and to the whole flock. And let all pastors and teachers hold fast the form of sound words of faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Into thy hands, O King of kings and Lord of lords, we commit our land and all civil authority everywhere. Endue all rulers and magistrates with wisdom and justice and the fear of thy holy name, and let them punish wickedness and establish peace, that the righteous may flourish and thy name be glorified. Regard in compassion all who are oppressed by lawless might, all who are suffering for truth and for conscience' sake, all who are beset with temptations to sin, all who are sinking under the weight of disease, all who are ready to despair of thy grace, all who are troubled by the fear of the grave, all who are entering into the valley of the shadow of death. And do thou be in them the hope of glory, and at thy appearing may the trial of their faith be found unto thy praise and honor. We ask your blessing upon upon St. Luke Lutheran Church and Homer Evangelical Mission in Alaska. And we ask also that you would continue to provide recovery for Anna, who is still hospitalized, that this little child of God might be able to go home and that we might rejoice in her baptism. Now unto thee who art able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of thy glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Much as we purpose to come to the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, it becometh us diligently to examine ourselves as St. Paul exhorteth us. For this holy sacrament hath been instituted for the special comfort and strengthening of those who humbly confess their sins and who hunger and thirst after righteousness. But if we thus examine ourselves, we shall find nothing in us, but only sin and death, from which we can in no wise set ourselves free. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ hath had mercy upon us, and hath taken upon himself our nature, that so he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and for us and for our deliverance suffer death, and all that we by our sins have deserved. And to the end, that we should the more confidently believe this, and be strengthened by our faith in a cheerful obedience to his holy will, he hath instituted the holy sacrament of his supper, in which he feedeth us with his body and giveth us to drink of his blood. Therefore, whoso eateth of this bread and drinketh of this cup, firmly believing the words of Christ, dwelleth in Christ and Christ in him, and hath eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, and rendering unto him most hearty thanks for the same, take up our cross and follow him, and according to his commandment, love one another, even as he hath loved us. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink of this one cup. The communion liturgy is page 144 in your blue book. We stand. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the very Paschal Lamb, which was offered for us and has taken away the sins of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Glory.
Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled to serve you constantly. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.